And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. As I feared, our 9:30 guest has not made his way to the radio station. And so I thought this would be a good time to talk about the upcoming primary election.
Yes.
Which we now know who is running. And this is in New Mexico, the way we do it is the governor and all of those statewide officials are up one election, and then the Senate is up the other. This is one of the years where all of the statewide officials are up, and so all of the senators get a free pass. They're not up for election this year. And that the only thing that bothers me a little bit about that is it gives the senators who want to run for governor an opportunity to do that without having to give up their seat, which, you know.
Well, that could be good and bad. You might get some candidates for governor
that's true.
That you otherwise would miss out on, but it does seem to be an unfair advantage.
That's what I was going to say to the people in the House who would have those same aspirations.
You're always scrambling.
Yep.
No, it's tough to be in the House. You're always running for re-election.
So anyway, here is what we have coming up in this year's primary election.
Uh-huh.
I think by far the most crowded race, and I anticipate one that will get a lot of attention, is going to be the sheriff's race.
Yes.
There are seven Democrats running and four Republicans.
Oh, I hadn't realized. 10 people.
Yeah, 11.
Oh, 11. Yeah. Yeah. 7, you're right.
It's still too early in the morning to do math. Anyway, Sheriff Kim Stewart has announced that she is not running for re-election after two terms. And not only that, she can't get out the door quick enough. I mean, she is done with it. I think she's made that pretty clear that she has spent a lot of her time fighting with the county commission, just as her predecessor, Kiki Vigil, did. And I think there's, you know, structurally some unresolved issues there that don't really allow the sheriff to run the department.
And yet it's such an important position in our community to have I'm kind of surprised more people aren't dissuaded from running for office.
Well, it used to be when I first moved here, it was interesting. The only races Republicans could win were sheriff and district attorney.
Yeah.
And so we had Susana Martinez was our district attorney back then.
Yes, I do remember those days, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, the people who are running, and I just did a quick search, so all I know about is what's on the internet. The Democrats are Gabriel Lozano. I wasn't able to find out anything about him. John Day is a 22-year veteran of the department. Rafael Reyes Jr. is an Air Force veteran with 25 years of federal law enforcement experience. James Fritz served the last 9 years with the State Police Department Tactical Team. Ricardo Segovia, and I don't have any information about him, and Eugene Charles Alvarez, who is a retired police officer, ran for the county commission in 2018. And the last one is Vanessa Ordonez, and she is the Anthony police chief and a U.S. combat veteran. And so all of them are running on the Democratic side for sheriff. I think two of them are veterans of the department.
Mm-hmm.
But that how any of them stand out and distinguish themselves from that field will be interesting. Yeah. And
do you have the names of the Republicans also
I
running?
I do have the names of the Republicans, and there are four of them. They're Gabriel Lee Baisas, B-A-I-S-A-S. Hope I pronounced that correctly. Wasn't able to find out anything about him. Todd Garrison, who served for two terms before losing to Kim Stewart in 2018, is going to be back for another try. Brian Hollister, who is a 23-year veteran of the department, has served under five different sheriffs, and Jaime Marquez Quezada are the four Republicans in that field. And to me, one of the interesting things in that race will be to hear their opinions about cooperating with federal immigration officers, which
Are we having any public are there any debates being planned or any way to
– Well, we have – the reason I know all this is because I just got done sending out invitations yesterday.
Oh, good. We are going to be coming on our show.
Yeah, we are going to be starting our own candidate interviews. I should have mentioned that at the beginning. In 2 weeks from now, we'll be starting our candidate interviews. So thank you for
Well, I know
that.
The next time I'm on, we have some candidate interviews. So.
Yes, yes, that is right. So those are going to be starting
so
in a hurry.
So that will stretch out for a couple of weeks probably, yeah.
That will. That will. And like I said, that sheriff's race, I think, is going to get a lot of attention. Kim Stewart, you know, served for 8 years.
Yes.
And
she came in and difficult when the department was having difficulties.
She did.
Well,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Kiki Vigil was, you know, if people don't remember, he was in the middle of a press conference when Julia Brown, the county manager, had him slapped with a subpoena. He had tried to take over the county jail.
Yes.
So, yeah, there. And Kiki Vigil will come up later as I go through this list of candidates because he is running again this year, not for sheriff. But that, like I said, I think that is going to be one of the big races.
The big races, yeah.
The other one that I am just disappointed by is county commission. Two incumbents up for re-election, would be up for re-election, Christopher Saljo Hernandez and Shannon Reynolds, and both of them decided not to run.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody who voted in support, well, that's not true. Shannon is running for a different position. But none of the county commissioners who voted to support Project Jupiter are running for re-election to their seat.
So the community will not have the opportunity to weigh in.
That's right.
Electorally.
That's disappointing.
For accountability.
That's disappointing to me. It just is. So what? That I don't mean that in any way to slight the people who are running, and we will talk about them. So for District 1, the seat had been held by Christopher Saljo Hernandez. There are two candidates. One of them we know very well. And that is Daisy Maldonado, who uh-huh. has been the co-host. And the reason why she is no longer able to serve as the co-host here is once she announced that yep. she was running for office. And she will be challenged by Angela Garcia. And once again, that will be in the race for District 1, currently held by Christopher Saljo Hernandez. Race for District 3, Shannon Reynolds. Has actually given up that seat. He had to because he intended to run for assessor. And so the Democrats running for that will be Jose Ibarra, who I wasn't able, when I looked up his name, I saw a lot of stories about Project Jupiter. So I'm assuming that Jose is not a fan and has been an outspoken critic of Project Jupiter. And he will be running against Willie Madrid, who is another familiar name. Willie Madrid served in the New Mexico legislature for several years. Uh-huh. He was defeated by Ray Lara
uh-huh.
In the primary. And so those will be the two races for county commission. The race for county assessor, I don't know, do we want to go on or is there any more we want
to
say about that?
This is a public service.
Yeah.
I think, and especially because you have some observations about other roles that they're playing or what the impacts might be. No.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, please.
So they're actually, along with Shannon, there are three people running for county assessor. Ruben Reyes, who ran in 2022, and he is a former employee of the department. Shannon Reynolds, who served as a county commissioner for, I believe, most of two terms. And I did want to mention before I moved off that county commission race that there are no Republicans running in the race for District 3. And in the race for District 1, the winner between Daisy Maldonado and her opponent, Angela Garcia, will face Samantha Barncastle Salopek in
okay.
the general
and she's,
election.
She's run for office
that's
again,
right.
too.
That's
yeah.
right. Okay. So I did want to get that in. So going back to assessor, Shannon Reynolds. And the third one is Eugenia Montoya Ortega. She has run, I believe, in the past for assessor, and she's run for a lot of different positions mm-hmm. in the past.
So interested listeners could also find, well, wait for our interviews with candidates, but probably could find local news stories about some of these candidates who are running if you want to find out, like, from previous campaigns.
Yeah, from previous. There's not a lot, well, and there, you know, it's still pretty early in the process. There's not a lot posted online yet.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, the questionnaires and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That,
so this is an unfolding drama here. We're going
yeah,
to
see that's
it.
Exactly right. So anyway, the winner on the Democratic side in the assessor's race will face Kiki Vigil.
Yeah, you say that Kiki Vigil would be running
yeah.
for another office.
Yeah.
What are going to be some of the big issues?
Oh, that's not right. I got that wrong. I'm looking at the county assessor.
That's
there,
good.
There is no GOP in that one. I'm looking at the House races.
Oh,
I'm
okay,
sorry.
At the House races. Are we going to be having any major issues coming up? Well, of course, we're kind of blindsided by Project Jupiter. We didn't know at the
yes.
last year that
yes.
this was going to be such an issue. So,
well, County Commission, I think there are a few. Project Jupiter is obviously
continue.
The one.
Yes.
But Memorial Hospital.
Yes.
I mean, they still need to, and that's the county and the city.
Yes.
But together, they're still kind of in a state of limbo there where I think the future is very unsettled. They're not happy with LifePoint. They have filed a lawsuit claiming that LifePoint is in breach of its contract.
Yes.
But that has still yet to be resolved. And, you know, there are still issues with the water in Sunland Park.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all of that, and, you know, Project Jupiter is just so massive.
Yeah, it's sort of eclipsing everything else.
It really is. I mean, everything in comparison to that is, you know, like I wrote a column talking about the judgment against Meta, $375 million, I think, is what it was. And that used to sound like a lot of money before Project Jupiter came along. And
yes.
Now it's, oh, you're still dealing in the millions. Isn't that quaint, you know? So.
There's that journalism cynicism.
So, yeah, those are the big things,
okay.
I think, for
okay.
the House.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. So,
state races.
Look at the state races. As I mentioned, the Senate is not up for re-election this year, but the House is. And so people who will be facing a primary include in House District 33, where Michaela Laura Cadena,
mm-hmm.
who was first elected in 2018, will face a challenge in the Democratic primary by Ramona Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
She ran for district attorney in 2024. And the winner of that race will face Kiki Vigil. Laura Cadena, I'm pretty sure it was her, sent out her message to the constituents last year at the end of last year's session. And it was this very official-looking letterhead and a big white piece of paper. And the only thing that it said was, the New Mexico voters deserve better. That was
yes.
her message. So she was obviously not happy with the results of the legislature 2 years ago. This year was a better session,
yes,
I think.
Yes, it was a real active session, actually, yeah.
So that'll be one. There are actually three primaries in the House. One of the other ones will be in District 34, and that will be Ray Lara, who is the highest-ranking member from Doniana County. He is the caucus chairman for the Democratic Party, first elected in 2018, and he will be challenged by Juan Fuentes, who is a former Sunland Park City Council member. And I don't think there is going to be a Republican in that race. I think the winner goes uncontested in the general. And in House District 37, Joanne Ferrari has given up that seat. A little bit of the history on that district. It was held for several years by Terry McMillan, who is a Republican doctor.
Yes, a physician in
town. And one of the things about him, and he was just very open about it, was he didn't go to interim meetings. I'm a doctor. I've got more important things to do than be a legislator. It's, once again, our volunteer legislature. But Joanne Ferrari defeated him, served, I think, four terms.
Yes, I think
and,
so.
And decided not to run again. I haven't spoken to her. I'm not sure what her reasoning was for that. So there will be a race between Lori Martinez, who is a 20-year social worker and has been endorsed by Ferrari, and she will be challenged by Matilda Villalobos. She is a former federal prosecutor. And the winner of that race will face Isabella Solis in the general election. And that is, once again, a former member of the county commission and somebody who is familiar to the voters. The other House races this year will be in District 35, where Angelica Rubio will go uncontested. District 36, Nathan Small will face Julie Ruiz in the general election. District 38, David Mooney is a write-in candidate for the Democrats, and he will be challenging the incumbent Republican Rebecca Dow. And District 52, Doreen Gallegos will be running uncontested. And in District 53, Ben Luna Jr. What am I saying about District 3? I'm not sure about that. Who had District 3? My notes are confusing me on District 53. Anyway.
Pre-coffee.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
an excuse.
Ben Luna Jr. is in that race, but I'm not sure. Oh, that's Silva. I can't read my own writing. Okay, so District 53 is Sarah Silva's district.
Yes.
And she will be challenged in the general election by Ben Luna Jr.
Okay.
So those are the local races coming up.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that research.
The governor's race has, I think, three or four candidates on both sides. So it's
Are we going to be able to get any gubernatorial candidates here on our show?
We will invite them.
Yeah.
I put them at the end because it's always iffy as to whether they come on or not.
Yeah.
Plus, people will get – if we don't do them, voters will still have plenty of other opportunities
to hear
from them. Yeah.
That is true. And for local races, you know, we're community radio.
Yeah, if we're not doing the assessor
folks,
race.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know. One of the other big things this year that I am very pleased with is independents or declined the state or whatever we call them can now vote in the primary election.
Oh, now that is huge.
That is huge.
It's an open primaries. Excellent.
Which I think is long overdue.
Well, and especially because more than a third of the electorate are now independents.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, that was like 10%. Were independents, and party affiliation was much was much stronger. And basically, you inherited your party association from your parents.
You did.
And that has been much more fluid. And I think independents are now a larger percentage than Republicans, and really close to the percentage of Democrats.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Democrats are still ahead in terms of the registration in this state, but. But independents are right up there. So it's almost now, and they may lean one way or the other to a particular candidate or policy position or party, but they don't associate, they don't affiliate.
Right.
And I think that's a very good position.
I do too. And I think New Mexico, like a lot of things, we're kind of slow to change.
Yeah.
I think while it's great that independents can now vote in the primary, it's still incredibly difficult to get on the ballot if you're not with the Republican or the Democratic Party.
Now, that is true. Although you might be able to, if you're a candidate, you mean.
Well, yeah, there were a few years after Gary Johnson ran for president when the Green Party got a high enough percentage of the vote in New Mexico that their candidates automatically qualified for a few years.
Yes.
But that has passed. And so my understanding is if you're a Republican or a Democrat, pretty much all you got to do is win the party nomination and you're on the ballot. If you're any other, there are all kinds of hoops that you have to jump through.
And what it does is it forces an independent party candidate to align just for the purposes of an election.
Exactly.
With the party that's closest.
Well, and I did that just so I could vote. I mean,
yeah, that's right, because you were an independent, right?
I was, and I wanted to vote in the race where Carrie Hamlin ran against Mary Kay Papin, which is in my district. And so the only way I could have a say in that election to declare myself as a Democrat.
And as a increasingly we're a one-party state, we haven't historically been so, but that means that if you don't vote in the primaries,
you're really disenfranchised. That's right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that is one other, I keep coming back to this just because I think it's such a big deal that we have this volunteer legislature that doesn't get paid, that disqualifies 90% of
so many good people
who, if you could have all the knowledge, all the desire, everything else, but you can't swing it financially because, you know, and so one of the other side effects of that is people just don't run.
Yes.
And that has been compounded by the fact that we have become so fractured that a Democrat just doesn't feel like they have a chance in Little Texas, and a Republican doesn't feel like they have a chance, honestly, probably in Doniana County.
Yep. And it is, that I think is something that, I mean, we did have political schisms in the past and very, very passionate and positions from the taken from parties, but this is new in my lifetime to have seen anything to this degree where you really are shut out really statewide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of your party affiliation one way or the other.
The other thing I think is the other race I think is going to be very interesting is the governor's race.
Oh, yes. That will be a good one to watch.
Yeah. Sam Bregman, I would probably be the favorite. I don't know on the Democratic side. Do you have a sense for that or not?
Well, I don't know. I know Deb Haaland has been down here and making some good inroads
in southern
New Mexico. So.
Yeah, that's right. And she certainly has probably better name recognition than he does.
That's what I was thinking throughout the state.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I am not a very good prognosticator of campaigns, I think, or election outcomes.
No, I'm not either. One of the interesting guys, and I think he's a wild card, but Duke Rodriguez, who the cannabis entrepreneur, and running on the Republican side. And I don't know. I mean, he's putting out a lot of commercials and a lot of commentary, and he has some interesting ideas.
I think that's always – sometimes in elections, even if you don't win, you can win the policy debate. You can pull over. Remember when Ross Perot ran in 92? He really forced the Democratic candidate, the Democratic winner, Bill Clinton, to move – to focus on the economy.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was not Clinton's first impulse. So I think that you might have an impact – On policy positions, if you're a contender with interesting ideas, even if you don't win,
that's a good point.
It shifts the you put things on the agenda and it may shift the debate.
Yeah, and you know what we don't know yet is hanging over all of this is there going to be this blue wave that everybody is anticipating,
in especially with Congress? Yes, yeah. That's what we're really, and we do not know. I think there's energy among the opponents of Mr. Trump and opponents of the Republicans, but we will see if that translates to the polls.
And I didn't, I should have, but I didn't look up to see who's running against Gabe Vasquez this year. I do remember seeing it. It's a gentleman from Albuquerque whose name I didn't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think redistricting achieved its goal to make that a safe district, for better or for worse.
When there's real competition, because I'm not so much with the Republican Party anymore, but with the Democratic Party, it really is a big umbrella. So you could have a lot strongly different points of view among Democrats running for office.
Yeah,
so
I think that's right.
So there could be some diversity there in terms of viewpoints. which is why it's even more not to just use the tag, the Democratic or Republican Party label, as a proxy for how they'll vote, is find out how are each individual, especially at the primary stage, what they feel about important issues.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we are just at the very, very beginning of this process right now. The people have just, you know, stepped forward and announced that they are going to run, and we will start sorting it all out here over the next several months.
And I presume we're going to have Daisy Maldonado on as a guest.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we will invite her, and I assume she'll accept our invitation. and I hope that her opponent will, too. I mean, certainly will treat them both fairly.
Absolutely. This is an ethic that's very, very important to Walter and to me, that we're trying to treat candidates fairly and to get representatives from all points of view.
Well, and it's one of my favorite parts of doing this. And when I talk about KTAL, that's always one of the things I bring up is, you know, the community service that this provides.